Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1648, air date January 30th, 2026.
Okay, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Ayadure, and we can go right to, we'll come back to the slide, but I would say that this is probably going to be one of the most important talks that will give you the tools, will give you the insight, and raise your consciousness of whatever race you are, whatever religion you are, whatever ethnicity you are, why we must unite. And once you grasp the fundamentals that I'm going to share today, hopefully in a very new way, it should really help you understand that the swarm that exists over here is really not human. They're subhuman. Let me give you a simple sort of analogy to think about this. Imagine if each one of you had a billion tons of gold, okay? A billion tons of gold. And you can imagine how much wealth you'd have. And let's say you're living in a land where you're the only one who has all this gold. And surrounding you are 8 billion peasants, okay? What would you do? You have all this gold. You have immense amount of wealth. What would you do? Well, probably if you were a human being, you'd say, wow, let me share this. I got more money than anyone can want. Let me share this. However, if you're a subhuman or anti-human, you would build a moat around your mansion. You would then hire military to surround you. And then you would make sure those 8 billion peasants were always fighting among each other, so they never unified to understand the exploitation that you were unleashing on them, the inhumanity, right? Does that make sense? If you think about it, either you're going to choose a path of kindness, sharing, generosity, or you're going to choose another path of division, distraction, and subjugation. I remember when I first came to MIT, I had very little money, and I'd worked very late. I had a job, and I was going to school. I was always doing something. And it was 2 a.m, and there's a place on the corner in Central Square where there's a pizza store. And I went there, and I had money for one pizza, and I was still hungry. And across from me was sitting this, you could see he was a Mexican immigrant, and he had a big cheese, one of those Philly cheesesteak sandwiches. And he could see I was hungry, and he took half of it and he gave it to me. Total stranger. All right. I would argue that's most human beings. Most of us are actually kind human beings, and we feel a sense of humanity. Now, go back to that analogy of an individual having so much wealth that they build a moat, they get military, and they go to the level of making sure that the peasants are always fighting among each other. Okay? And that's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's actually going on. When you rip away all the bullshit, that's what's going on in modern day society. We're dealing with a set of people who are sub-fucking human. They're not humans. And the reason they're not humans is because most of their wealth, I'm not saying all of it, but most of it is generational wealth. Most of it is wealth that they didn't earn. Most of it is wealth that came from exploitation. So they are absolutely hollow human beings. And they are so insecure that if they were to go into the desert or to the forest with nothing, they have no idea of how to survive and make way for themselves. Like most of us do, right? We have some skills. We'd figure it out. They cannot do that. That insecurity fuels their inhumanity to the rest of humankind. That's what's fundamentally going on. And that set of people we call the swarm. Now, this group of the swarm, I want to do a case study. I mean, I want to look at a pretty decent sized microcosm. And you will realize that it's a multiracial swarm. They're Blacks, they're Jews, they're Indians, they're Chinese, they're Jews, they're Christians, they're Hindus, they're Muslims, but they are fucking united. They're a multiracial, multi-ethnic, multi-religious swarm. And what's really quite evil about these people, they're multiracial, but they want us to fight among each other. And in the United States, they have targeted the white working class. They've targeted the white working class to make them racist, to make them separated from their immigrant, white, brown, black brethren. This is done in such a profoundly evil way, no different than that guy owning $1 billion of gold, having everyone fight. But it is a white working class in the United States, which is being exploited by their wages being lowered, and we'll go into that, their constitutional rights being violated. But most importantly, their solidarity with the other people of color being fractured, while the multiracial billionaire swarm is highly, highly organized, highly friendly, fucks each other, parties together, does everything. But they tell this group to fight among each other. And that's what we're going to talk about. And this will lead you to the conclusion that all of this is being done to annihilate a bottoms-up movement. So the peasants wake up and say, wait a minute, these people are actually not nice people. It would be really great if they were kind people, but they're not. So I want to today take what I just said, which are a bunch of probably important words, and concretize this for you so you can use this to raise other people's consciousness by using a systems analysis of three states in the United States. We're actually going to combine two of them. One state is California. It's a blue state, right? The Democrat state, where all the Democrats are, all the liberal Democrats. And the other state we're going to combine to, we're going to call it Texas, Florida. Does that make sense? The red state, Texas and Florida. So we're going to see over here where the red state, and by the way, 60 to 70% of the wealth of the United States come from these three states. Okay, so that's the paradigm we're going to use so all of you can educate others, and particularly the really victimized group of the white working class. If the white working class awakens to how fucked they are by the multiracial billionaires, karma is going to be so swift. Really, really swift on these people. So it's probably going to take a brown person like me, who's got white and black in him, to bring people together. You know, maybe that's my karma, okay? But let me walk you through this so you understand the details. Because once you understand the mechanics, to all of you who are new, you know, we're systems people. We look at the whole and we go to the root cause. So let's go to that, okay? So I called this talk, if we can bring up the title again, I called it, if you see the diagram, Immigration Deportation Theater, a swarm production. Obama and Trump are co-starring in this. And by the time I finish, you will really understand this title, why I called it this, and why you will understand that the swarm changes its faces based on the time. They figure out what inputs to put in. So they do the right manipulation at the right time for the right reason. So one time they'll manipulate the masses with Obama. The other time they'll use Trump. The other time they'll use Clinton, Bush, etc. These people, when you really get to it, are purely puppets of the billionaire swarm. Their goal, as we teach in system science, they have a goal: maximize power, profit, control. And in order to do that, the billionaire swarm or the trillionaire swarm says, who do we need now to manipulate people back into them hating each other, which is working people, fracturing them, make sure we suppress their wages, and make sure we create at every cycle of this a much more controlled police state. Okay? And what I'm talking to you about has been going on for a long, long time. And this aspect of what the swarm has been doing is not something that just came up with. They too learn, okay? They too have learned that they have to manipulate people to be successful. And if there is solidarity among people, they're going to be in a serious, seriously bad situation. So breaking the solidarity of working people is their goal. Breaking the solidarity of working people is their goal. I'll repeat, breaking the solidarity of working people is their ultimate focus. Okay, so let me give you this context of California, the blue state, which all the red people are told to hate, and all the blue people are told to hate Texas and Florida, a bunch of rednecks, you know, a bunch of people, the red state, right? And how did I put this presentation together? I was inspired in a very interesting way because on, two days ago, you may know this guy, Alex Preeti, was shot in the back. Everyone saw it, right? And then I think yesterday, they put out a thing saying, well, he was also, you know, defiant against ICE. All right, he may have been, whatever, a quote-unquote woke left radical. And it looks like he was pretty defiant. But it doesn't mean that they should have actually, I think there's a new video that came out with him kicking one of the ICE cars. Well, he should have been arrested. That's not a basis for 2 days later to execute him, okay? But nonetheless, so they pitted ICE, which the right wing supports, against the left with this guy, Alex Preeti, who was executed. No doubt about it. Okay. So when I saw this, the position I took online, you can see the tweets, I said, hey, look, you can chew gum and you can walk. You can hold in one thing. I'm against illegal immigration and I'm for the First Amendment and I'm for the Second Amendment and I support the Bill of Rights. And I also believe that ICE was unleashed to create a police state. You see, all those different things can be held in my mind. But if you're in the left camp, you'll only say ICE is good, Second Amendment is good, but this guy had the right to be executed, right? And if you're on the left wing side, you'll attack the other, right? But the reality is when you take a systems approach, you can actually hold all of these to be true. You can chew gum and walk. Anyway, I put this tweet up, and in the, whatever, the 19 years, I think, I've been on Twitter, Jesus, 2007, I started looking at my feeds, and some of you may have seen them. And they were some of the most racist tweets I've seen. You pudgy, you shit eater. It was quite wild. You know, we thought you were one of us. Go back home. And you can see how I retorted. I retorted in classic New Jersey style, okay? But anyway, I was amazed at the level of vitriol. And then when you looked at who was writing them, all of them were just doing reposting. And these are called bots, okay? But they were pretty racist, violent tweets. Suddenly, a woman wrote something very interesting. She said, you know, the red states, Florida and Texas, the red states, because all these MAGA tards were attacking me, has more illegal immigrants than California. How many of you knew that? Florida and Texas have the most number of fucking illegal immigrants than California. So that led me down a very interesting rabbit hole. I said, wow, all these MAGA-tards have been brainwashed, the white working class. And I call you MAGA-tards because you've been victimized. have been victimized to think that Republican Red cares about legal immigration. When Florida and Texas, let's call it Texas, Florida, has 3.7 million illegal immigrants. If you take on a good day, if you take the most conservative numbers, there's around 12 to 14 million illegal immigrants. Nearly 25 to 30% of them are in Texas and Florida, which are what? Red states, are they not? Where there's supposed to be law and order. We don't want illegal immigrants. California has 2.3 million illegal undocumented immigrants, okay? So California, the blue state, has got 2.3, but Texas, Florida has how many? 3.7 million. Okay? 1.4 million more illegal immigrants. And to all of you MAGA people I know, and we'll get to Elon Musk, the so-called guy, he's against illegal immigration. And we'll talk about the data that's come out. In Texas, when he built his gigafactory, he used illegal undocumented workers. So did Jeff Bezos. Okay? So in the United States, now there may be double, but let's be conservative. Let's say there's 12 to 14 million illegal immigrants. That's this pile of illegal immigrants over here. Okay. Then I started digging more. I was doing a lot of data research. How many illegal immigrants since the time of George Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, who is called deporter in chief, and Trump, if you look at this thing, how many illegal immigrants are deported each year? How many? I talked to a friend of mine. He goes, wow, Barack Obama's deporting a lot. I said, Bill, maximum, and I wish Suresh will bring up that graph if you can. This is the data. The maximum number of illegal immigrants deported in any one year is 3% of that total population. About 200 to 300,000. So it's a trickle. That means 95% of the illegal immigrants are not being deported. In any one year, 1% to 3% are being deported. And this graph, and I by the way, I have a major scientific paper we're going to be publishing tomorrow. It's about a 25-page paper, and all of you can use this. It goes into gross detail of how the multiracial billionaire swarm is colluding against the American people to create a fake immigration reform solution when they have no intent of deporting anyone. Okay? Because the billionaire swarm, the multiracial billionaire swarm, is making trillions from illegal immigration. And they're pitting white workers against immigrant workers. So they fight, so that's a double whammy that they get. Now, if you bring up this graph, can you click on it? This is the data. Look at this. For over 22 years, the maximum number of people in any year that have been deported is at best 3%. Everyone see that? 3% of 14 million is what? Maybe 500,000. Okay. That's what's going on. So now you're wondering, so then it makes you say, what the hell is actually going on? Well, how many billionaires are in California? 199 billionaires. How many billionaires are in Texas, Florida? The red state. Blue state has 199. Texas and Florida has 200 billionaires. Okay? And this is a multiracial group of billionaires. They are all chums. Indians, Jews, Blacks, Chinese. They all get along. They all have martinis together. They all smoke weed together. They all get plastered together. And all other shit that they do. They all hang around with Epstein together. Very close. They don't distinguish between the white people not liking the brown people. They embrace each other. They are really, really good friends. And if there's one thing working people need to learn from them, is why aren't we such good friends? And the reason is they have deliberately created an environment to separate us through the most racist, vile ways to keep us separated. This is done consciously. These motherfuckers are evil. They hang out together. The Muslims talk a big thing about Islam, but they get plastered. Okay? They're supposed to not drink, but they hang out and get plastered. The Hindus are supposed to care about Rama and all these great religious things. They have no integrity. And the Christians, they're supposed to love one another? No fucking way. They only use Christ's name. But among them, they're in deep solidarity and they want us separated. So there are about 800 billionaires in the United States. 400 of them are in these three states. All right. So that's why I chose these. So the worth of those 100, the wealth of those 199 billionaires in California is $1.7 trillion. An unimaginable number of zeros. You can't even imagine how much wealth that is. And if you take Texas and Florida, those 200 billionaires are about worth $1.716 trillion. So the collective wealth of this billionaire swarm in just these three states is close to $3.42 trillion. And what industries are they in? Technology, social media, energy, agriculture, real estate, construction, manufacturing. Okay, so this billionaire swarm of 400 billionaire into all these industries, collectively worth close to $3.42 trillion. And we're only talking about 200 people, ladies and gentlemen. 200 people have this enormous wealth. And those 200 people are in states which collectively has 6 million undocumented workers. Okay, 6 million. And that 6 million represents close to 50% or maybe even at least, I mean, it could be double that, but known on what is recorded, nearly 50% of the illegal undocumented labor is from these three states. Again, red states, Texas and Florida have 3.7 trillion. Please go educate your MAGAtards about that. Ask them, what do you mean? You hate brown people, you motherfucker. Are you fucking stupid? Your red states, Texas and Florida, have 3.7 trillion illegal immigrants. And to the blue people, go tell them, why do your states, you claim you're for poor working people, why is it that you have 2.3 million illegal immigrants and 50% of work on the farms picking your fruits and vegetables for nothing? This is a reality. Okay. So what's even more fascinating is those 6 million undocumented workers, many of them who work hard, they contribute. People say, oh, they're stealing from us. Bullshit. They are contributing $96.7 billion in taxes, plus Social Security, plus Medicare. But guess what? They don't get any of that back. That gets taken out of their wages by these subcontractor companies who employ them. So they're paying to taxes, they're paying to Medicare, and all of that revenue, guess where it goes back? To the state governments, which use them to build their roads and highways and all that stuff, which is what the billionaires use to make their money. These are statistics, facts, anyone can go check on their own. And when I publish this paper tomorrow, you'll have all the receipts there. So, what would happen? Now, just to give you the enormity of these billionaires, these 400 billionaires, and the families who live in these three states, how much they're dependent. 50% of California's farm workers are undocumented illegal, at least from what we know. undocumented illegal aliens, immigrants. Now, what would happen? Let's say we're for illegal, we're for deportation. We really want to solve it. Let's deport all of them. What would happen to California? The entire economy would crash. It would crash. Not only that, the price of food would go up at least 10 to 20%. Why aren't they doing that? Why aren't people actually deporting them? Because the billionaires have no interest in deporting them. And that's why I call the deportation theater. Okay? Construction and manufacturing. Texas and Florida would collapse without 20 to 30% at minimum of the construction workers in these states are undocumented illegal workers. And then you look at, you go to Florida, all the cleaning staff in every hotel, Disney World or Disneyland, I forget which one's which, right? Are all undocumented workers. Ron DeSantis, that piece of shit who talks a big game. Why doesn't he deport all the illegal aliens? Why doesn't he? Red State, MAGATARDS, ask Ron DeSantis, what is he doing? Why doesn't he get rid of those 1 million illegal workers? Why is it that hard? He talks a big game. Is it that hard for him to round everyone up? Do it, Ron. He won't do it because the billionaires in Florida need these illegal workers to make their handsome profits. Does that make sense? This is why we'll get to the ruse, okay? They're only deporting, what did I say? 1% to 3% every year. So what's going on? So as I went through this, I'm like, what the hell's going on? Okay? So this is what's going on. And this is what's going on. The billionaires swarm, these subhumans, not all billionaires, but by and large, this collective swarm goes and does what? This is how they fuck everyone. First of all, they go and invest in the military-industrial complex, right? And they make money off that through the stock market. The military-industrial complex, and this has been going on for quite a bit of time, 400 years, they, what do? They go to countries. Been happening since British. Britain came to India, exploited everyone, raped everyone, pillaged everyone, stole all their gold, right? We go into countries, replace democratically elected people, replace them with dictators we like. We do regime change. And why do we do that? Because we get to get free shit, right? We just steal people's gold. We steal their oil. Just take it. So you do regime change. You put dictators in because you don't want free people coming up, even though we talk, these people wave the American flag. But they subjugate these people in other countries. Now, what happens? Well, first of all, the billionaire swarm just made money from the military-industrial complex, step one. Step two, they're making money, free money, just by taking people's wealth, right? Just stealing it. Step three, this is what gets really quite amazing, how much they get from just invading, abusing, they commit genocide, anything, right? When they invade these countries, right? No regard for human life, total greed. When they rape and pillage and exploit these countries, they install dictators, they get to get their land, they get money, they get gold, diamonds, rare earth metals. But then what happens in those countries is the poor people in those countries who want a better life, who have a certain resilience, what do? They leave, right? They say, shit, I can't do well here. I got to get the fuck out. And then a very personal note, it was British colonialism starting in 1600, 1757, when England occupied India, stole everything you can imagine, but more importantly, implemented a infrastructure to keep exploiting India, which still remains. So the best minds in India said, fuck it, I'm getting the hell out of here. Like my parents. Or in Guatemala, people leave. Right? The people who have some resilience, who have some strength of mind and character say, I'm getting the fuck out. And where do they go? They go to the United States. Or they're going to Europe. All right. So now the billionaire class, which invested in the military-industrial complex, made money there, which also made money from stealing wealth, now is getting a pool of these immigrants, right? Who are coming to the United States very meek, right? Give me your meek. Shit, I get to come to America. I'm willing to do anything. They come illegally, legally. When my dad came here, he's an amazing, one of the smartest people I know, engineer, he was getting paid $12,000 a year. His white counterpart was getting paid triple that. My dad obviously could not fight back because he was just happy to be here. We lived in Paterson, New Jersey, in a two-room apartment where the landlord wouldn't even give us heat. We had to put coal in those old stoves. But we were so glad to be in America. All right? So people are willing to lower their standards and take what they can get, right? Because you're in America. So the billionaire swarm brings in immigrants, legal and otherwise, and they're a different color, different race, et cetera. And by the way, this has been going on for a long time to the Italians, the Irish, Chinese, Japanese, right? So as they come here, they make them feel so happy to be here, which they are because they're living, they're leaving these awful circumstances. They are glad to come to America. But what they do is lower their standards, lower their wages. Okay? What's the next thing they do? They then spread all sorts of racist narratives against these people. Oh, look at they eat with their hands. Oh, like they come from this country with their snakes and tigers. Ooh, they wear these hijabs. Ooh, they're Irish. They like to drink. Ooh, they're WOPs. They're all criminals. Ooh, those slanted-eyed people. Ooh, they're Jap, right? Whatever the fuck it is. And they do it against whoever the immigrant is. What does that do? That makes a local working class, let's say the white working class, feel better about themselves, right? The guy that was paid $30,000 versus my dad was paid $13,000 for the exact same job. So he feels a little better. But maybe both of them, if they united, should actually be getting paid $100,000. You see what I'm saying? So they suppress this guy's wage, make this guy feel a little better. And this guy, he's hearing all this racist shit. The white working class guy doesn't unite with his brown, yellow brethren or his foreign brethren. You get it? And you feel it, right? You feel it in the atmosphere because he's getting paid more, right? That's the visceral manipulation the billionaire swarm does because they understand primitive fucking animal psychology. They're not elevating people's consciousness. As I've spoken before, there's three types of human consciousness. The lowest instinctive form, like a freaking animal. Call that instinctive intelligence. The next level is irrational intelligence, where you use your brain to solve a math problem, do a physics problem, write a court brief. The next one is the intuitive piece, where you think about the welfare of others. Love, you see as us as one. But they don't appeal to this consciousness. They're going down to the lowest consciousness. Because right now on this call, I could make a distinction between everyone here. Ooh, look at, he wears his hair like that. Ooh, look at, he's got a feather in his head. He has a tattoo, right? So you could easily isolate people using these very, very topical, visceral differences. That's what they do. So the white working class, or the indigenous people at the time, are made to feel better. They pay them a little more. So you separate them. You create a superiority and inferiority. Getting back to the guy with the $1 billion and tons of gold, he's got to figure out ways to have all these peasants fighting because he's got to protect his gold. And I'm telling you, a moat and a military and a safe is not enough. He's got to make them fight. So illegal immigrants are coming in. He's paying them little wages. They're afraid to fight because they're happy to be here. He's got them by the balls there. And he's got the local indigenous population hating them. And they never unite. Does this make sense? It's engineered. It's engineered race war. Okay. So what you have is they use racial fear manipulation. So as a part of this, you have to put out all sorts of racialized narratives. The great replacement theory. If you notice now on X, they have these idiot Tate brothers pushing men to be masculine. Whites are better. And by the way, let me just tell you what I also uncovered. There are bot farms. What is a bot farm? A bot farm is they have people in Turkey, in India, in Pakistan, in Africa who are paid by these billionaires to go on the internet every day to post around 500,000 different posts, racist posts. One group promotes white supremacy. Another group promotes Islamophobia. And you'll see it out there. Another group says all the Indians are shit eaters. And that's who came to attack me when I did these posts. All bots. These are funded. You guys understand how organized they are? So there are bot farms which do this work, okay? And these bot farms are not accidental, okay? These bot farms are well organized and they're used to amplify this racial and political rhetoric. And the impact is to divide workers, create fear-based reaction in white workers, forgetting all workers suppress wage suppression. And they're very targeted now with social media. You can target the white guys. One of my former volunteers, Alan, who's a very nice guy, about 2 weeks ago, he called me up and he goes, yeah, Dr. Shiva, let's hit Vivek Ramaswamy. He's against white people. Now, I don't like Vivek Ramaswamy. And I said, and then I called him up yesterday. I was going over his paper. He goes, you know, Dr. Shiva, thank you so much. Every time I go on Twitter, I get hit with ads. I get radicalized to be a racist. And he's as white as you can get. So they are manipulating white people to get into this white supremacy shit. This is done by bot farms, well organized. Okay? So what's going on here is the following. I'm using this case study. These multiracial billionaires, and I just want to let you know how multiracial they are, okay? These people are not, you know, all white. Out of those, I remember I told you about 800 billionaires in the United States, which control about 7 trillion in wealth. Here's a racial breakdown about they're not all white. 700 are white, 40 are Asians, okay? About 23 are black, 10 are Latino and Hispanic, and 20 to 30%, the other 100 plus are Jewish, okay? But it's not like only the Jews are doing this, only the whites. You got Asians, you got blacks, and they all work together. So it's a multiracial group of white, Asians, black, Latinos, and Jews, of all different Muslims, Hindus, etc., who are in solidarity. That's a racial diversity, okay? They're highly diverse, okay? And what has happened is this group of billionaire swarm, they have realized this. So if you're the billionaire swarm, how do you make your billions? As I've talked before, you need to keep your expenses low. You need wages low. Does that make sense? You need low wages. In order to have low wages, how do you do that? You have to make sure that people don't demand higher wages. So you bring in the immigrant labor, illegal immigrants. They're afraid, okay? They're afraid to ask for wages because they can't. And so the wages are lowered. And because they should be here, the wages, they're down here. So the white working class can't get these wages. they're happy to get this, but they're a little more than here. So my point is they need undocumented illegal immigrants for their businesses to be successful. And to give you the numbers, if all the illegal aliens were deported tomorrow, what would that do to this economy? What would that do to the US economy? Okay? What would that actually do? Well, the taxes that the illegal aliens contribute are about $100 billion. The entire agricultural foundation of the United States would crash. We would have a crash worse than the Great Recession of 2008. The US GDP, if you deported every illegal alien, would drop by $1.7 trillion. Okay? That's what would happen. That's massive. So the billionaires know their wealth is dependent on illegal labor. Let me repeat, the billionaire swarm knows that their wealth is dependent on illegal immigration. The billionaire swarm knows this. And they know they need to keep the wages low. So this is what they're doing. They support Republican and Democrat politicians who talk tough on immigration. Why do you need to talk tough on immigration? Because you need to make sure you scare the 12 or 14 million illegal immigrants who are in the United States so they don't demand higher wages. So you bring in these illegal immigrants or legal immigrants like on H-1Bs, and they're going to be all very compliant. Yes, Masa, I'll do the work. I'm not going to ask for higher wages. I'm just so happy to be here, Masa. So the billionaires talk tough on immigration, so they create a fearful condition. Those illegal immigrants or even immigrants don't demand any other increased standards. And so when the white guy comes to demand some wage increase, the same billionaire says, Bob, why do you want so much more? Jose is willing to work here for one third. Do you want me to hire more Jose's? So Bob shuts the fuck up. And then Bob goes home and he sees on Twitter racist shit. So he's taught to hate his brown counterpart. So what they do is they talk. The billionaires fund people who are going to talk tough on immigration to create the fear. So this is why I called it Obama and Trump. So, and it depends on the theater they want to pull off. If they want to do a nice rom-com theater, they bring in Obama. If they want to do adventure, horror theater, exciting, they bring in Trump. So Obama was a good office manager. He deported 3.1 million people, 387,500 annually. Okay? Now Trump has deported about 1%. Okay? So far. But in 2017 to 2020 total, but 935,000. But the difference between Obama and Trump is the following. It's purely tactical. Remember, people vote for Obama. Wow, he's a Harvard guy. He's sophisticated, right? He's smooth talking. So Obama didn't deport people with ICE coming in and beating them, right? He did it very quietly. Smooth operator. But did he deport illegal immigrants? They called him deporter in chief. He only did 300,000 per year, which is what? Less than 3%. So the billionaire class used Obama to scare the illegal immigrants. And by the way, Obama deported actually more criminal illegals. But he, you know, the goal is to keep people in fear. Trump came in more as a movie director. And he brought in ICE, made it very dramatic. And Trump actually has deported a minuscule amount of illegal criminal undocumented workers. He has gone to Home Depot. These people actually work. And he scares them. Now, why is he doing that? So other illegal immigrants are afraid who actually are working. So guess what? You suppress wages. Does that make sense? You it's like from a control system standpoint, you inject enough deportations 1-3% to keep the illegal population afraid. That fear lowers their decision to want to fight, which also brings down the white workers and creates enough racist rhetoric so the white workers and the immigrant workers don't get together. That's what's going on. So this process, as I talked about in my previous talk, has been going on for 400 years. And that process, as I talked about, is you got a lump group of people here. You find someone to isolate over here like a bully. Initially, it was the Native Americans, right? You said they were heathens. Again, a racial narrative. Second step, you stole all their land. And third step, in order to steal their land and get away with it, you needed enforcement. You created a certain type of police force. And all the settlers were like, oh, this is good. We're stopping the natives from attacking us. That same police force then gets used against the natives. Then it was the blacks. We made them slaves, said they were inferior, used them for slave labor. People made, at that time, equivalent to trillions of dollars on slave labor. You created another way to suppress the blacks. And that same police infrastructure was used against the whites and other people. Everyone was a mobster among the Italians. You created all these surveillance laws to go after the mobsters, but it was then used back against the people. And that's what's going on right now. We're going after the Somalians, open ICE raids, all the IDs, the infrastructure, the cameras, all of this stuff, supposedly against these illegal immigrants, is then going to be used against the white working class and the majority of all of us. So that's why I said it's a multiracial billionaire swarm to protect their trillions. They have engineered a race war doing quote unquote immigration reform, but the end goal is to suppress wages, to divide the working class, and to build a police state. That's what they're doing. Let me repeat that again. The billionaire swarm, a multiracial billionaire swarm, has engineered a race war using immigration reform. They don't deport all the immigrants. They're deporting 1-3%, but they hype it up, keep it as an issue. They're doing that just to keep the illegal immigrants afraid, to suppress the wages of them and the white working class. And then they inject the white working class with the most racist fucking narratives. They think they're better. And it separates them. The end state, wages are suppressed. You divide the working class so they don't build a bottoms-up movement. And to prevent a bottoms-up movement, you unleash the surveillance state against all of us. And let me just, in closing, give you a couple of examples of this. How, when I talked about the billionaire swarm, the Resnick family in California, who's into tech and agriculture, 50% of their workforce is undocumented. And they fund the Republicans and Democrats. They make $4 billion annually. Zuckerberg, Facebook, and Elon Musk, and Larry Ellison, they completely rely on undocumented tech labor and fearful H-1B labor. Texas, energy and manufacturing. Musk will talk about, oh, we got to stop illegal immigration. Well, he uses undocumented labor and he's used it to reduce his cost by 20 to 50%. Same with Jeff Bezos. Florida, tourism and real estate, the Pritzker family. They employ 45% of undocumented workers for cleaning and maintenance. These are people who fund the blue or the red swarm. Okay? That's what's going on. So in closing, if you look at it, it's a collusion. It's all theater. All of it is theater to make sure we don't unite. California blue, tech and agriculture, funds Democratic candidates, and they rely on 2.3 million undocumented workers. Texas and Florida red, they fund, you know, the energy and real estate billionaires. They fund the Republican campaigns, 3.7 million undocumented workers. And they have the same business model. Both sides are using the deportation theater, it's all theater, and they suppress the wages of the white working class by 20 to 25%. Okay? The ICE, so here's the only difference again, let me emphasize this. Obama was called deporter in chief 2009 to 2016. Trump, you know, with Kristi Noem, they use the ICE theater, okay, to create these dramatic things. And they have people getting shot, you know, so they have people choosing sides between ICE and the protesters. And the goal here is to divide the working class so we don't, and destroy unity by racial lines. And the final part I want to let you know is, this is why the economy, they cannot get rid of illegal immigrants. And this is why they will never do real immigration reform. Because if they got rid of all the illegal immigrants, the price of food would go up 10 to 15%. Construction costs would go up 20%. You'd lose 1.5 million workers, and no one would be able to afford housing. And $100 billion loss in tax revenue. The economy of California would shrink by up to 7%, $200 billion loss. And Texas and Florida would suffer similar economic losses. So let me just end on that with this final point. The solution. The only solution is a bottoms-up unified movement of those peasants, understanding that we actually want to create a better world, that we have to raise our consciousness, understand this dynamic, and that this deportation theater is a Republican, Democrat, bipartisan mechanism. And the entire goal is to suppress wages, divide workers, and expand the surveillance state. And the only solution is workers must unite along these racial, ethnic, national lines and recognize that the real exploitation is a swarm. And the only force on this planet that is dedicated to raising this consciousness is the movement for truth, freedom, health. So as Nicholas said, you got to roll up your sleeves, raise your consciousness. You have to study this. What I just gave you, this analysis, you're not going to get anywhere else because they don't give a fuck about building a bottoms-up movement. They'll choose a left or right. And we're the only one who offers the tools, the educational tools, the system science tools, so you can figure this out. We have leaders all over the world who will push you to go do stuff, talk to people, hand out flyers, make phone calls, so you're doing stuff. So we start actually organizing against a swarm. That's the only way out of it. So what I've provided you here tonight is a very deep analysis of how they're doing this. I've also provided you solutions, which is what you're witnessing right here. Every Thursday night, 11 a.m. in the mornings, we do it for Europe, and 8 p.m., we have these open houses. But when you bring you here, we're not just going to pontificate. Roll up your sleeves. I'm running for United States Senate. But you know what? Some idiot online said, I can't believe you're talking like this. My family, we helped you get on the ballot. I said, you know what? Don't tell me you helped me. You helped. If you want to support me, do it because you want to help yourself. You're not helping me. I'm running because I want to serve. But you're not helping me. That's what we tell people. Pick up the phone, help us get on the ballot because you want to help yourself. Okay? I don't want charity from anyone, nor do we want to give charity to you. You have to raise your consciousness and say, I am getting involved in this movement because I want to see a better future for me in advance, and I want to do it collectively. So we give you the opportunity to do that. We teach you theory. That's a scholar piece. We teach you how to fight. We have a rhythm of a movement. We have an organizational structure. So I hope this talk, if Suresh can bring up the graphic again, is really immigration, deportation, theater. And whether you're an Obama supporter or Trump supporter, they're two faces of the same execution, which is to divide people, suppress wages, and create a police state. That's what's going on. And the movement for truth, freedom, health is the only force fighting this by raising consciousness. So get involved. We'll take any questions.
So at this time,
you guys get ready. I'm just going to let the pups out. I'll be right back.
Okay, sounds good.
Get people organized. Yep.
So just take a moment to formulate your question for Dr. Shiva. You can direct that into the message. We're not raising our hands anymore, just in the chat. Take a minute, formulate your question. You can send it to any of the co-hosts or Dr. Shiva himself, and we'll get it answered.
Yeah, make sure your questions are succinct and to the point, and direct them, like Vicky said, to Dr. Shiva or any other co-host. And yeah, just please do that. Thanks.
So the question is a swarm a global monolith? So first of all, you should go watch Shatter the Swarm video. The answer is right there. The second thing is Putin, Russia part of the swarm? Again, the answer is there. And do any countries in opposition to the swarm? And do we have any allies? So first of all, Ayad, you need to go watch Shatter the Swarm and perhaps talk to some of our leaders during the Q&A. First of all, we've already addressed this. A swarm is a multiracial, decentralized group of people that are all over the world. They're not in any one place. The second thing is that this is not about, are any countries in opposition to the swarm? So again, in all of these countries, there's swarms in these countries. It's not like a country. There's no country that is supportive of people. You're a people and you have governments. Most of the governments in these places are owned by different wings of the swarm, particularly the leadership in those countries. And you may have varying levels of oppression, but by and large, I mean, go look at South Africa. You have blacks running South Africa. The leaders are completely corrupt. Zuma, who was there, you know, total corrupt leader. So you have to think about it as people bottoms up. So when you say, do we have any allies? Again, you got to go back to fundamentals. These questions are coming from a lack of grasping some of the fundamental principles. It's not when you say, do we have any allies? Well, you're looking at allies here. This is why we have to build a movement. It's not like someone is going to give us allies. So your questions are coming from a perspective of someone's going to give you something. The swarm is not going to give you anything. That's why you have to build a movement. This is not about nation states. This is about building a bottoms-up movement. Well, you're asking about Putin. Putin has his national interests. Okay, he has his interests as an individual. But at the end of the day, he's going to make decisions for the swarm in his country. And we can have a longer discussion about this, but to the extent that one wing of the swarm chooses its path over another, at the end of the day, you know, if the United States attacks Iran, for example, and people might say, oh my God, the US is going to attack Iran. Will Putin support him? Well, you saw what Putin did in Syria, because he's fighting a war in Ukraine. It's not like he sacrificed himself and the Russian military to go help Syria. Putin and Iran, for example, have an economic arrangement, but not a military one. So when push comes to shove, each of these kings is going to protect their wealth. Their intention is not to build a bottoms-up movement of solidarity. That's against their interests. Tracy Peter says, I've seen the question on Shatter the Swarm. It is an unconscious question, nevertheless. Isn't Dr. Shiva part of the swarm? I'm not sure what you're saying. It sounds like a very mental masturbation question. It's very abstract. It has really no meaning. We all live in this world that you call the swarm, but I'm not controlling trillions of dollars of wealth. So again, for God's sake, Tracy and others, until you get and hand out a flyer, until you get and do the work, this will just be very theoretical, okay? You'll just sit around and ponder your navel. You have to experientially do work, go out and talk to people. Get on the phone, make some phone calls. So it's not something theoretical. To the extent I talk about this, I spend a lot of time with other people. You know, I've had people here do a lot of work on my house. I have to talk to them. We talk politics. We get them to vote. You have to get involved. You know, you can theorize watching someone play the piano. You have to go play the fucking piano. So again, that's just my advice to you guys. We call it a warrior scholar program, so you get involved. Nicholas is running telethons. Get on there and start making some phone calls. Talk to people, okay? Because you'll learn a lot about how people are thinking, what's on people's minds, what's bugging them, real issues. Joanne Feaster says, how do we get the immigrant groups involved in our movement? I've invited immigrant families I care for, however, they're maybe a language barrier. Is the use of ICE a violation of the Posse Comitatus law? And if so, how can we as citizens enforce it? No military involved in domestic affairs. So look, the broader thing is, Joanne, those in power don't give a fuck about laws. And the more that there is no bottoms-up movement, they're openly and blatantly doing anything that they want. I think you just saw today Howard Lutnick's two sons just struck a major multi-billion dollar deal, I think with a foreign government, where they're so Trump is just going and doing whatever the fuck he wants. There is no laws. Congress is completely impotent. And this has occurred because of the failure of the fake opposition, the not so obvious establishment. So there is no opposition anymore. So to the extent they talk about laws, you know, the Constitution is only as good as people following it and people fighting for it. Once it gets violated, it's not like the law exists and therefore the law is going to win. No, the laws may be on paper, but it is people's consciousness that defends and fights for that makes the law the law. We're heading more and more into lawlessness. Is there more division among the workers for public industry than private sector? Oh, to Joanne, your question of how do we get immigrants involved? I would assert, Joanne, the way we're going to get immigrants involved, I think the biggest group of people that need to be most supported and educated is the white working class. That's my conclusion. It is the white working class, particularly the youth, who are being manipulated with all these youth scumbags, Nick Fuentes, the Tate brothers. And Nicholas, it's your people in your age group are the most vulnerable right now. I don't know if you know, but one of the biggest epidemics right now is gambling among the 20 to 30 year olds. I don't know if you guys have seen this, online gambling, sports gambling, cannabis, etc., and a lot of racist white supremacist shit. So they're taking the young white working class, getting them on drugs, getting them gambling, getting them into all sorts of very a cultural behavior that is not supportive of their mental and cultural growth. That's what's going on. It's like taking people and putting them on a reservation, but you're doing it digitally. You don't need to put the Native Americans on a reservation, get them drunk, and give them casinos. It's just happening online now. So it is extremely important, all of you, take this content, take this understanding, and speak to people. And I would say, Joanne, to get the immigrants involved, we got to get the white working class aware of how they're being screwed through this quote-unquote immigration reform. And this is really the disgrace of both Obama and Trump. Nicholas says, Jordan Lott says, is the murder of Alex Preeti creating a division of the working class to create more wars? In other, yeah, so it's a great question. So let me ask everyone a question. How many illegal immigrants does Minneapolis have? Do people know? Can someone look it up? I can look it up right now. Let's look at how many illegal immigrants does Minneapolis have? Let me look it up. Let's see here. How many illegal immigrants? And I get this is I'm doing very quickly. We may have to do further research, but let's just take it at face value. How many illegal immigrants in Minneapolis? Okay. So Minneapolis has 95,000 illegal immigrants, okay? Which is 1% of the state population. And what is 95,000 divided by 3.7 million? Let's see what that is. Okay, so Minneapolis has 2% of the illegal immigrant population of all of Texas, Florida. Why the fuck are you going to Minneapolis? Where is ICE rounding up everyone in Florida, right? Why don't we start rounding up every Hispanic in Florida? Why are you going to Minneapolis? Do you understand the theater here? It's like a fraction. And if you take the 95,000, so Texas, Florida has nearly 30 to 40% of all the illegal immigrants, right? But how much does Minneapolis have? 95,000 divided by, let's say, divided by the 12 million, okay? And that's being conservative. Okay, Minneapolis has 0.7% of all the illegal immigrants. Texas, Florida has 30%. Why is there such theater over there? Where's the ICE theater in Florida? Because if they did the ICE theater in Florida, it would expose this theater. Does that make sense? So they choose Minneapolis. They choose people wearing the hijabs, Somalians, because it's beautiful theater, right? Because you can get people all riled up against these dark-skinned people who are practicing some religion. It's like out of a fucking movie. But they're minuscule. So, Jordan, the point is to go to Minneapolis, to start shit there, is going to lead to some shit, okay? Because Minneapolis has a rich labor history. You know, it's got a leftist, right? So you send ICE into there, ready to make this thing, and then you put it on TV and you have left and right fighting. It's all theater. So obviously this guy was shot. You could have two views. Well, he was a rabble-rouser. He got shot. Oh, ICE is there for good reasons. ICE is bad. And what's funny is ICE is also made up of working class people. They're not like all billionaires, right? There's probably good people in ICE and bad people. There's probably some woke, crazy people among the activists, and there's probably some good people. But all of these people are working people. So we got them fighting. And going back to the big picture, this is like minuscule. They're not really wanting to get rid of illegal immigrants. It's the theater they want to create. So they divide us. And that's really the central point of what I'm getting across. And if we can educate people on the central point, we're going to win. It's a very simple education. Let's go to Joe Hirth here. Joe Hirth says, you give the net deportations of Obama Trump. Some critics say Trump deported less because of the wall. Obama let anyone in. I think we need to contrast the gross illegals added by Obama and Trump in addition to the deportations and come up with a net number. We need to do that to eliminate those diversions. So Joe, here's the bottom line, if you want to keep it simple. It's a graph that I had Suresh display. The most illegal, by the way, there's, just to be, if you want to get into the nuance, there's two types of quote unquote deportations. One is actual removal, where you take someone and you throw them out of the country. Okay, they were here and you throw them out. That's called a removal. The other is called a return. They come to the border and you tell them to go away. Obama did 3 million actual deportations and 2 million returns. Trump has done a total of 1.5 million, you know, during his tenure, first term and second term, okay? So the point is, you can get into the minutiae of that numbers. The real KPI, the key performance indicator, is how many total people did they deport in any 1 year, Joe? That's the point. That metric is what you want to keep the eye on, 1% to 3%. Trump has only deported about 1%, Obama 3%. But you guys understand, this is such a rounding error, okay? Relative to the fact most of the illegal immigrants are allowed to stay here because they need them to profit. Please keep the eye on the ball here. I mean, we could do 3 million, 2 million. The point is only 1% to 3% per year are being deported. That is how you educate people. If you can get that across, go to any MAGA-tard or any libtard, whatever you want to call them, and say, hey, at the end of the day, Obama was not, quote unquote, deporter in chief. That's how they branded him. Or they branded Kristi Noem as Ice Queen. You see what I'm saying? They're making these characters up. But at the end of the day, they're actually not deporting anyone. That's the point. It's deportation theater. It's theater, theater, theater to divide us. That is the mantra here. It's deportation theater to talk about immigration reform. It has nothing to do with that. The billionaires need illegal aliens. They need illegal immigrants for two reasons. One, for cheap labor. Two is to divide the working classes up. You get it? Rose has a question. What was the true purpose of the sanctuary cities? Rose, what do you think? What was the purpose of the sanctuary cities? And I'll give you a hint to this. The billionaires who are funding the candidates to be, look, billionaires funded Obama to be tough on immigration. Billionaires funded Trump to be tough on immigration. Why? They need the theater to scare the immigrants. But guess what? The same billionaires funded $50 million to lobbyists back room to keep loopholes that they could hire subcontractors who hire the immigrants. And the billionaires are willing to even pay a small fine to use illegal immigrants. Okay? So why do they need sanctuary cities? And by the way, the same immigrants who are tough on immigration also over here will fund some nonprofit to do a sanctuary city. So what's the real goal, Rose? Let Rose answer it. You should be able to answer this question now. What is the purpose of sanctuary cities? Can we unmute Rose?
Yeah, give me a second on your...
She's right, yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to bring them into their city so they could use them.
There you go. Cheap labor.
Yep, cheap labor.
Yeah, it's all... And remember, all these nonprofits, most of the NGOs, whatever they say they do, they're doing the opposite. Okay? Breast Cancer Foundation. They're like a whole entity that just makes money for themselves. So sanctuary cities were a way not to help the immigrants, to keep low-cost, cheap labor. That's it.
Makes a lot of sense, yes.
Once you realize, Rose, the billionaire swarm is here, they're making trillions off of illegal immigrants. Okay, that's check. But they need to make sure the peasants, we don't unite, right? And they need to make sure the white working class is completely victimized. The white working class is getting victimized first by not getting the wages they deserve because they have an inability to unify with their immigrant counterparts, their workers. And two, they're getting fucked mentally to be racist towards the same people that they should unify with, without understanding that the billionaire multiracial group is all unified. It's really sad. So the white working class out there, I repeat, is the one that's really getting screwed mentally, financially, emotionally. Because they're the ones, by the way, the white working class's wages have dropped. Used to be, I think the median wage used to be 40,000. Now it's down to 20,000. And that's being using the illegal immigrant class to bring them down. So that means overall more profitability for the billionaire swarm. The multiracial billionaire swarm is creating the racially divided working class. Does that make sense? Suresh has a bunch of stuff that's coming on YouTube. How to get immune from the radicalization, Twitter rationalizing is asking. The only way to get immune from this radicalization is to raise your consciousness. Go watch this video 50 times. Come to our open house. Get educated. Education is the only way out of this. It's not terrorist act. It's not just taking weapons. It is weaponizing your own mind to understand how you're being fucked. It's the only way out of it. And it takes individual by individual, and that's called a movement. And by the way, you don't need a lot of people. You need enough people who raise their consciousness at a high level, and they'll raise others. There's a talk of a general strike. Does something like that help with the power of the people? Yes. You see, since the 1970s, there used to be in the 40s real unions, you know, true trade unions, organic trade unions. Those unions were taken over by the collusion of Republicans and Democrats. The unions of today are bogus unions. They're all top-down driven. They don't really fight. The union leaders sell out their own workers. But true unions of working people is what needs to happen. So again, the white working class has been fucked over again. The Democrats and Republicans have made unions a bad word, rightfully so, because they're all corrupt. And therefore, the white working class doesn't reach out to their counterparts to build a bottoms-up movement. But yes, real organic unions are very, very powerful. So to the extent many of these unions now do strikes, but they're very, very well top-down organized, you know? They're like for show. But when they start doing those kind of activities, we should point to people, yeah, they're doing that. Let's build a real bottoms-up union. Next one is from Christian Spraying. How is the suppression of the workers limited to just America? Isn't the slavery going on all around the world? Latin America, Africa, India, China, Russia. Definitely. This is a great, great question. This is why I believe this issue of what we're talking about. I mean, look, when I started this talk, I said, I'm going to give you a microcosm of this using Florida, California, and Texas. You can expand this globally, Christian Spraying. You can expand this globally. The same thing is occurring everywhere. And so a movement to combat this must occur anywhere. That's why we have people all over the world. We have a leadership organization we're building all over the world. It cannot be in any one country. It's a good observation. Another thing we have is Dr. Shiva, please explain gold and silver price suppression in the markets if you haven't already. This is unknown to many. So, you know, there was a time around maybe 30 years ago when you were an investor, you know, Buffett in his early days, as a friend of mine was just sharing, you know, you could actually learn stuff from him because he was actually teaching people how to understand actual market forces, value stocks based on doing math and except like there was some reality. Well, over the last 4 to 5 years, anything you see, oh my God, the market's going to crash. The dollar's going to do this. Tomorrow, something's going to happen. We don't know. Let me just tell you that everything is engineered. Okay? For years, certain banks artificially kept silver suppressed. They kept gold suppressed. So everything we see in the stock market today, or so-called even highly volatile events, are extremely well organized. Scott Bessent is not a dumb guy. He's the first Treasury Secretary to not talk about strengthening the dollar. They have a plan to actually weaken the dollar. And there's some very interesting reasons why. It's a way to actually fuck up China. So they want to do a weak dollar. They want to move people to crypto because it gives them the ability to do a reset and also to use digital currency to surveil people. But when you look at the price of silver was artificially suppressed, whoever asked that, okay? If you look at the price of silver where it is and how it went down, many of these institutional banks artificially suppressed it. But it's hard to suppress this now because if you look at solar cells, if you look at, you know, AI, the chips, they all need silver. So the amount of need for silver is explosive. And there's actually a very interesting gap between the SLV stock that you can get and the actual silver, meaning the actual gold, metal. So the suppression can't happen anymore because of market forces. But I would argue that the swarm actually knows all of this. That is not accidental. I think we as people need to recognize that nothing they do is accidental. It's very, very well organized. And you should be very wary of prognosticators who say, tomorrow, like as though some event that's going to take place was not organized by the swarm. They know exactly where the hockey puck's moving. And they're already invested in that downturn or upturn. It's just the masses are always late to the game and they get lost in what they call FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. So they're always late. But the elites know exactly where it's going and they're the ones who move the hockey puck where it goes, independent of market forces right now. Ayad says, thank you. You're welcome, Ayad. Tracy Peter says, it's also... yes, it was my response to that question on YouTube. It's also raised the cost of housing for single family homes. I'm not sure what that Tracy's referring to. I'm not sure what you're referring to. And Joanne Feaster is the last one here. Where will your data, your paper on immigrants be published? I can provide copies to my working class friends. Great. We're going to publish it right on the International Center for Integrative Systems. It'll be published tomorrow. It's got some really nice graphs. So we're going to have the paper, which is about 30 pages. You can consider this video that we're doing, which is an adjunct to that paper. And we're going to give you guys lots of graphs that we have. I can share some of them with you if there's interest. We have lots and lots of wonderful graphs that we put together that'll help you. I can just show you a quick preview of the paper. If I can share my screen, can I share?
You should be able to, yeah.
So if you see the paper here, this is a paper that's coming out. We have some very nice graphs here about looking at Florida, the number of billionaires, Texas, and California. You can look at how this billionaire group in Florida of Texas have grown, okay? There's some very interesting data here showing how in each of these hospitality industries, agriculture 50% undocumented, Florida agriculture 48% undocumented, in agriculture construction 40%, Miami hospitality 65%. Okay, this is red states, guys. All right, so no one has put this data together. And then they say all these immigrants are leeches, these illegal immigrants. Well, they're contributing nearly $100 billion into tax dollars. And they don't get any of this. They don't get the property tax. They don't get the payroll tax. Who's getting all this? The local governments are. Then you see the fact that the fairness gap in Florida affect the state and local tax rates, right? The undocumented immigrants are paying 8%. And it can go down to 2.7%. So anyway, all of this is going to go up, but I would say this is the first analysis of its kind, which really puts the blame where it is, the billionaire swarm. And we have to bust up all these illusions. And I'm telling you, the people that are really being fucked over are the white working class. And if they can raise their consciousness, it's going to be pretty devastating for the Trumps and the Obamas of the world. All right, so we'll put up this video. I want to thank our, by the way, everyone out there listening, everything's volunteer driven. You guys can contribute to our movement if you want. You guys can roll up your sleeves and help. If you want, go to Shiva for Senate. We are running, you can volunteer because I'm running for United States Senate, but my run is not me running, it's us running. We want everyone to roll up their sleeves and do some work. Massachusetts is a center. It's the headquarters of the global multi-trillion dollar swarm. It's the headquarters. It's the think tank. This is where they figure out all the evil shit. And so us winning a United States Senate seat here would be like a bomb went off. And you know what? We have done this now for 8 years. We ran against Elizabeth Warren. We created a lot of brand equity. Last time we ran, they were so scared they stole our election. And we created more brand equity because we fought. People know we're fighters. Notice I use the word we. Okay? And now we are running. I'm not running a standard campaign. We are running. We want everyone here to call people in Massachusetts, get them to pledge and go door to door. Phone to phone. That's a real campaign. The old model is I'm running for office. Give me your fucking money. We're not doing that. I ain't doing that anymore. We want you to get off your butts and do the work. I don't want people to say, oh, Dr. Shiva, I'm so happy you're running. I'll give you my vote. No, you get off your butt. Call Marianne, call Doris, call Nicholas. Go to the website. Volunteer and help yourself. Go talk to your neighbors, learn how to talk. That is the movement. We're giving all of you to taste what it feels like to be part of a movement. Not like I'm supporting Dr. Shiva. Isn't he a great guy? I don't want that. I want you guys to get off your ass and do what I did for the last 8 years. It can't be one individual. That's what they want. They've created a culture of top down. We want to do bottoms up. So my running gives you an opportunity to experience what it means to be an active citizen. Don't do it for me. Do it for yourself. We have people, as Nicholas said, all over the world who are making phone calls into people in Massachusetts, all volunteers. So this is an opportunity for you to taste what it feels like to be a working person contributing 5 hours of your time a week in some meaningful way to be an active citizen. We've created that infrastructure. We have the tools, the software, the computing, the people. All you have to do is just give some time of yours. Take 50% of your time that you're doing watching wacky ass shit on social media and put it into doing something. Our movement's about getting you to do something. And that's really hard for people to do. Wow, I can do something. Yeah, you should fucking do something. This ain't doing something. This is not doing something, okay? Doing something handing out a flyer, calling people, educating them. You become a leader. So everyone here, hold people accountable. That's what today's talk is about. We have to hold ourselves accountable. They are manipulating us. They are dividing us. They're creating a police state right in front of our eyes. Don't get lost between choosing an activist or the ICE. They're all working people. They're all being manipulated. We got to start showing compassion and educating people. It's a way we're going to win. You all have to become teachers and educators. And this video today, it's a lot of content here. Use it to educate people, talk to people, and have the optimism and the positive thing that they can learn from you. The last thing I want to say is, out of all the countries in the world, there is a rebellious spirit in America. It's in our DNA. In other countries, people are made compliant. And that is the great hope of this country. And we have to unleash that spirit with consciousness and education. And our movement offers that. So get involved, get people to these orientations. Our media team is doing clips of all the talks I do. So it's easy for you to use those to bring people here. All right. So I hope this was valuable. Do you guys get this? Do you understand this issue of immigration is an amazing freaking issue to educate people how they're being fucked? It's a great, great educational opportunity. So I'm very, very excited. I'm really, really excited for 2026 because the elites have handed us an issue that we can use to expose them. It's such a great issue. You know, anything else? I want to thank everyone who's volunteering, has donated their time to our movement and to our campaign. It's an extraordinary time we're living in. Extraordinary time. It's really, really great. Get involved. You can learn so much. And we have an amazing community of people. You'll make such good friends here. Really solid people. All right, everyone. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. I'll let you guys go. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Shiva.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left-wing, right-wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, You don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com. So people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth Freedom Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there. But we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine. But I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering: electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolv, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.